Hey, it's a FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me, as always, is Steve. How are you doing?
Happy early spring, John. I'm great. How are you?
It's really nice out here in California.
I
You know,
can
I don't
attest.
know how we get so much work done, but when it's so nice outside.
Speak for yourself. I get nothing done, John.
Yeah. Some people never want to go outside. And for them, I wonder how many people are really into that Apple Vision Pro. Have you tried it out yet?
I did try it out actually at a conference a few weeks ago in Vegas. I do not like the idea. I'm a big believer in AR, not VR. I know that it's sort of a blended thing as well, but I think that we need more experiences or more chances to be outside and connect with each other in person. And I don't like where this is going with the whole, thing on your face, walk around. There's videos of people sort of driving as well in their Teslas and using that. And I just
Oh, yeah, that's
I do
smart.
not like this timeline. I do not like this timeline. Please bring me back.
Yeah. Well, were you impressed at least by the technology in the Vision Pro?
The tech is pretty interesting. I think that this is the kind of thing that will become maybe more widely adopted once it's more miniaturized and easier to use. But I do think that the tech has some applications. Again, not for me per se,
And not all day, just for like an hour
and
where
not
you're
all
doing
day,
something
exactly.
specific, something like that?
Yeah, my friend who got one says that it's actually quite heavy and that he gets sick of it after about an hour and a half or so, which is essentially movie length. This is just like a very nice movie.
And you're sick of it now.
And I'm sick of it already, yeah.
What do you think on an airplane where you have the movie screen like real big in front of you?
That's an interesting use case, but I mean, that's that. How many times are you flying a week, a month, a year? You know,
Is
it's
that
not, is
worth
that,
3,500? Right,
or
right.
it really 4,000 with taxes, right? Like that's, it's
Right,
quite
tax.
expensive.
There's some extra battery accessories and all that. Yeah,
Exactly.
yeah.
The straps, the cords, whatever, the dongles that Apple loves us to foist on people. So yeah, I think it's an interesting first take. Funny enough, I also read today that they abandoned the electric car project also,
Yeah, I saw that.
which yeah, seems interesting, but yeah, it seems like it's a cool first step. Not for me, thank you, but hopefully they get smaller and cooler as well.
They should have bought Tesla when they had the chance, when it was
They
much,
shoulda,
much,
coulda,
much
woulda.
cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we love getting insights on all this new kind of stuff happening. Well, lucky enough, we have someone with a lot more experience on insights, investing, and new technologies. We have Michal Czaplinski, the founder and CEO of CapStack. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, guys. Hello, hello. I have an opinion about Vision Pro. Can I say
yeah,
it?
Let's hear
Let's
it.
Hear
because I was waiting until you guys were doing that intro, and I was like, I have opinions. So actually, I got it. It's actually funny enough, you guys got it right. It's heavy. It's movie length. But the experience of watching a movie, but you have to know how to get there. If you go to Apple TV and then pull a theater movie screening experience, which effectively speaking puts you in the front seat of an empty theater with a surround sound around you, that's mind-blowing. It really is.
Yeah, it
but
looks
you have
interesting.
To
yeah.
You have to get there. I do agree with the following. After an hour and a half, 2 hours, it's heavy. I mean, like, because it is. I mean, like, it is heavy. So you're tired. It's like wearing, you know, helmet and the goggles, skiing or snowboarding. So it is heavy. But 2 hours, you can do it. Can you work and type on it? I haven't tried. I would probably not do this, but for movie watching experience, there are some games, but right now it's very, very limited. So in the future, that immersive experience, they got it right in comparison to other VR sets. But let's be clear, it's the first, you know, I've read this comparison, I think, in the FT behind this and the first iPad. We all look like, you guys remember, I don't know like whether you guys got the first iPad, but I got the first iPad and we're like, hey, iPhone does this too.
It's just
but
a big
then,
iPhone, yeah.
It's just a big iPhone. But then more and more specific use cases became, I right now read mostly newspaper on my iPad. So it's it develops and it becomes a better tool for certain things, but it's not a tool for calling, for example, yes? So I think there will be use cases, and as always, Apple, the ease of use, the quality. You know, I love that you guys know the story about Steve Jobs, I'll tell you that story and then we can delve into Capstack, but the story is more interesting than anything. You guys, like for the old audience, oh, everybody, I assume everybody had gotten an iPhone. Do you know the box for an iPhone? Yes?
Yes, the white box. Yeah.
The white box. So now I'm going to tell you something that few people know, but once I tell you that, you'll be like, oh shit. Do you know that when you open the box, it only slowly opens up? It never drops down or anything like this. You kind of need to a little bit shake it to make it faster, or you wait for that 10 seconds. You know, it took Steve months and a whole team of specialists to get that friction right. This was his attention to detail. This is something to be admired now. It wasn't that iPhone. It was the box. He said, the experience of opening of it has to be so profound that when you open, it's this big, da-da. But unveiling. It's never too fast. Unveiling. It's never too slow. It's never like it falls. It's never you open, it's here. No, you just, it's ta-da. He spent months on it. This level of attention to detail, maniacal, has to be applauded. Like, however you put it. Like, when I say it to people, because I got it from like folks that used to work at Apple, people can't believe it, that months were spent on the box and how the friction of a paper to paper happened. Okay. You know, one of those.
Yeah, he was so good at that. And just knowing which things to focus on like that. You know, maybe a little bit too much here and there, but, you know, you can't argue with that. It just seems like the standard. Like, that's the way it should be once you experience it.
Exactly. Once you experience it, everybody is, it's always a standard to be admired. And, you know, today they canceled the, so we're recording it, what, 27th is today?
28th.
February 28th. Today they canceled the AutoCar. And, you know, behind the story, so it was kind of known for quite some time that they're going to do it. It's basically, it was a different decision than, oh, the EV market is not there. No, they realized they can't do it significantly better than the other ones. And only it's worth if you are the best. And actually, the best is Tesla when it comes to EV cars. You can say whatever you are, experience of driving that car is unparalleled to any other car on the EV market. The full self-driving FSD right now in the 12 version, it's going to blow people's minds.
Yeah, it's like going from a Palm Trio to the first iPhone. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, in a there's this great book by Peter Thiel from Zero to One, which he actually counters this thing about, you know, that competition is good. He actually said monopolies are better. You want to be the best and you want to crush everybody else. That is what Apple's philosophy is always. They need to, whenever they enter the market, they need to be clearly the best because they will charge a premium for being the best. I mean, we pay right now, what iPhone is worth, $1,300, $1,400 for those iPhones. I mean, like, I remember when it started at $199 and $299, even then it was a lot of money. You see, now it's a cost of a laptop.
It's gotten cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
We should wager whether we'll see widespread uptake in 3 or 5 years or so. My guess is that possibly because it's Apple, but if this came from a different company, like maybe a startup, I would be more reluctant to take on that bet.
Well, that's the thing.
I would agree with you.
They can build that whole ecosystem.
Yes, they will build the whole system. Remember, my photos are on iPhone, everything. I don't even know how I would move to an Android phone. Like, honestly speaking, I wouldn't even consider this. Maybe not this version, but the next one and the following one are going to be significantly better, as always.
Speaking of better, so you began your career in sort of in the fintech B2B space as well. You have background with, I think, Lending Club and Fundbox, and now you have Capstack. What is Capstack? Mm-hmm.
Capstack is the solution to the problem that exists in U.S. banking system, and as a result, the greatness of it. So let me first of all tell you about the problem that exists, and then I'll tell you what the Capstack is, because I think it's always a better explanation of it. So in America, we have a unique banking system. I strongly believe part of this, you know, uniqueness of our country is that system. We have, you know, nearly 12,000 financial services institutions, credit unions, community banks, larger banks, and investment banks. You know, if you compare that to a German economy, which is, you know, what, 85-90 million people, which is what, a third of ours, they have really seven banks. It's incomparable. We create a very unique banking system, but what we don't realize is that that banking system is extremely localized. It's a branch-driven business. So most of the customers of small and mid-sized banks, and small and mid-sized banks, that's the bank where 65%+ of Americans bank, and guess what? Over 75% of businesses get loans. So we're talking about the local banks, the no local market, but for some reason, we always view them as Wells Fargo's or Bank of America, full suite of services and branches everywhere. Where, that's not the case. Most of small and mid-sized banks have 5 to 20, 25, 30 maybe branches, and all of their customers come from the vicinity of these branches. As a result, they are extremely localized. And that's the issue that SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, experienced, followed by First Republic, followed by Signature, now followed by two banks in the state of New York, which is extreme concentration of assets. And there isn't a solution to it, because one of the CEOs of a bank, because I couldn't believe this, one of the CEOs of a large Louisiana bank told me, Michal, let me give you an example. Do you know a pizza on Melrose? It's one of the famous pizzerias in LA. I'm like, yeah, of course. Do you think it has customers in San Francisco? And I said, no. Do you think it sends pizza to San Francisco? I said, no, of course not. Well, this is the same thing with banking. We are branch-driven business. We're no different than restaurants. A customer has to walk through our door in order for us to service them. You see that concept? And as a result of it, banks are extremely concentrated, either within a certain geographical area or certain sectoral area. It has its pluses. It has its pluses that if you and I, guys, we're starting, I don't know, hummus restaurant in, in Bronx, we wouldn't go to Chase. I love Chase, but we would go to a local community bank because it knows the market. It knows that within the five blocks from where we're planning on renting a place, there isn't a restaurant serving that place. And as a result, it also knows the community, the customer base, and it's more likely to render a positive decision than a larger financial institution. We would go to a larger financial institution when we are a franchise business, because there are much better services though. So it's nothing bad about larger banks. It's actually, they're great, but there is a place for everybody in quote unquote, you know, the food chain of financial services. So what is Capstack?
Yep.
Capstack is an operating system that connect banks, and for the first time allowed them to invest in each other assets and trade each other deposits. It has never been done, because the system for years has been antiquated, mostly done via very old core system, which are operating system for banks. Only in the recent years, these systems have had a major overhaul where allowed that level of connectivity. In order to build it, this system needs to connect variety of companies with obviously competing with each other. As a result, needs to be a Switzerland, which is a perfect thing for like me as Silicon Valley operator and a founder and a builder to realize there is an opportunity. I live that because at my previous company, Pipe, which is a very successful exchange of recurring revenues, and provide our financing to SaaS businesses, on the buy side of that platform, we had a plethora of these small and mid-sized banks that were investing in this esoteric asset, and I could never understand why. And the reason why was that banks seek diversification, but it's extremely difficult for them to find it because there are no platforms for it. And here's Capstan.
You seem to have a background, I think we mentioned earlier, especially being in the financing space and in the fintech space with a focus on small businesses. How did you get into this space specifically?
I don't know. Look, I started in hedge funds. Then I became a lawyer, a senior lawyer at Schulze, Roth & Zabel, which is a major law firm dealing only with hedge funds industry. Literally, it's 500-700 lawyers just servicing one industry. Then I was an operator for the Bank of New York Mellon. I always stayed on, but mostly on investment management. I understand capital markets. I love their purity. If you build pure incentive driven, which are just always, very well suited for both sellers and buyers, because you've got enough competition, the price discovery is there. Capital markets are one of the best inventions of us as a humanity, and debt as a result of it. So how did I get into it? Starting multiple companies, after that I was part of the early team at Fundbox, where we built the first fintech B2B lender utilizing only machine learning. Then I led transitions at Lending Club. Then I co-founded Pi. And but it's always the story of me is that the story, the problem happens at the previous company. So, the problem that was the genesis of Pi started really at Lending Club, where we started LCX, which is Exchange of Loans. It was good, but it wasn't well diversified because it was only loans coming from Lending Club. So knowing that, I was trying to figure out what is the market that could be very well diversified and create that new asset class. And I met Harry and Josh, and we started Pipe. And during the years of Pipe, the problem appeared that banks seek diversification, need a platform for their diversification. Interestingly enough, that's a global problem. It's not a US-based problem. But there isn't a platform. There isn't a... we invented securitizations. It's a very well functioning market. But it's a market for typically much larger institutions and wrapped securitized assets, not individual assets. Banks want to and need to. It's not only want to, need to invest in the individual assets as well. And that's what Capstack allows. Capstack allows a bank in inner city Boston to invest in a loan issued by Premier Agricultural Bank out of Texas at the same time of issuing that loan. That's an ultimate diversification tool.
I guess to take the other side of that as well, I'm curious, could a bank actually, or could a consortium of banks, like say, like they did with Zelle, which sucks with that, that's a whole separate issue, but could a consortium of banks actually build something like what you're trying to build as well? Could you be sort of taken in from the inside? Or is this so unique that other banks will not be able to replicate what you're going to build here?
I think it's a misconception that, people can't build things. Everybody can build the other thing. None of this is the degree, what I like to say, rocket science. Mm-hmm. But apparently people are now competing with space. They should start using something else. Everybody can build it. The question is time and effort. It takes enormous time, effort, knowledge. And why would you be doing this if, when it comes to capital markets, the venue of choice is the venue with the largest liquidity, period. So you would have to build a venue that initially would have less liquidity. And it took banks several years to commit to Zella. And, it's still a bumpy road, yes. It's people on the West Coast predominantly like to use Venmo and PayPal. People on the East Coast, when I travel to my home in Miami, use Zelle. While the middle of the country uses Cash App, which is much rarer in California or in Florida. So as I travel in between of places, I notice these differences. I've never been asked by a parking person or anybody here in California on the West Coast, broadly speaking, to use Zelle. Zelle is predominantly actually asked in Florida. Well, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina's Cash App. So to answer to your question, yes, they can. That being said, that venue has to be independent from the players. And because of the fear, why is NASDAQ not owned by, I don't know, Goldman Sachs or New York Stock Exchange? They're owned by other banks, but it's a very diversified ownership structure. Why? Because one would always worry, do you know anything about me that I don't want you to know? Yes. When it comes to cap stack, banks can actually pre-select banks that they want their offers to be shown, because banks do compete with each other. So they can select or deselect certain banks from their vicinity. I don't want them to see that deal because I don't want them to be going after that customer, which allows basically the deals to remain private within groups of banks that the banks want to interact with. That's the beautiful thing about this. And the fear of capital markets, let's be clear, has always been, and especially with high-frequency traders, is there anybody that has access to this data before me? When it comes to Capstack, we're an independent institution. We are like NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange that connects banks and allows them to discover the price for the assets independently and trade independently.
Well, this is a big project. I know you've started a lot of companies and built up a lot of businesses and have invested. What are the unique challenges of getting this up and going? It sounds like a lot of pieces have to be grow up at the get big and quickly at the same time.
Yes, but the funny thing is that here, I think the biggest challenge and also the benefit is my customer base, which are banks. The challenge is as follows. It's actually opposite of what people think. Banks are actively, we have over 40 banks that we call them the design partners, but it's much more than that. They're actively working with us on our product. We're actually flying from a bank to bank, showing the product, getting the feedback. They want this to happen. The issue with not so much the banks, but the whole system is that there aren't core banking products being built. The last one, nCino, loan origination system, Numerator, several of other ones, most what it's built for banks is, risk and compliance. This is making money product. This is run your business product. There aren't, except for FIS, Fiserv, and Jack Henry, which are the big core operating systems, nothing is being built. So it's more of a explanation, we can build it. And for the first time, I always laughed that I always thought that, my age, I'm in my late 40s, has always been a disadvantage in the Valley and in the tech system where every single person is half my age and 10 times smarter than I am. I think for the first time,
they are anyway.
I think I do. I barely know how to turn on the computer.
Okay.
it's for the first time the experience of dealing with banks, the experience of knowing how to interact with C-suite with banks, what are their pain points, comes as a clear added value benefit. Banks want to talk with me because they met me at Fundbox, then at Lending Club, then to a massive extent at Pipe. And as a result, I'm a known feature in this sector of banking. And as a result, I can get a meeting and I can have a certain point of view that is going to be accepted and can build a thing that they will be even willing to test. So I think that's the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is getting through to that system of 12,000 banks that nobody's really building for. It's quite antiquated, but it's hungry. Like if you meet bankers, they are hungry for innovation because most of these banks, we don't really understand it, either family owned or family controlled. These are normal businesses. These are also kind of more important businesses than we think, because these are legacy businesses. What I mean by that, it's really difficult to sell a bank. It happens, but it's not easy. As a result, this typically is a business that you transition into your next generation.
So it seems like there's a lot of, as you mentioned here, a lot of inefficiencies within the banking space, in the lending space specifically also. And yet it seems like there's been sort of a decline in the past 2 years or so in terms of fintech funding, right? We've seen, I think, 40 or 50% declines in VC funding towards fintech, either enterprise or consumer. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what sort of, what, you know, since there is, as you say, such a big need and bankers are hungry for this, you know, for this tech, and consumers also seem to be also looking for other options. What do you think is driving this decline in funding towards the fintech space specifically?
Look, I'm an active investor, and I typically doing, only invest in fintech and in hard areas. I think, first of all, a lot that's being built are features, but not the products. It's in the heydays of the super cycle, a lot of features were funded. These are amazing features, but there will never be a standalone product or a company that will be able to live on its own. They're just basically, the scope of the offering is too small. They need to be part of the larger thing. I think partly this grew it too. We're still waiting for Stripe's IPO. We're still waiting for the large fintechs public offerings, where you could see and mark this path for the successful companies. That has been the second problem. Two, three, I love innovative lending and innovative payments. But let's be clear, 90% were just recycling previous ideas and or recycling money. That sooner or later, it just ceases to be interesting. So I think there was the beauty about fintech, the assumption that, it will never be what it is, or no, it's going to decrease, it's false. And it's not because I invest in it or I'm part of it. It's just false, because it's like saying money and innovation created by money will cease to exist, or debt, or payments, or anything else. It's not really, I have this concept, because people do consider money as, quote unquote, dirty, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you misconstrue money. One should understand the concept of debt. Debt is a thing that fuels us as, civilization. There wouldn't be wars, cities, and companies built without various forms of debt. Actually, everybody that works in my company gets a big book. They're excited at the beginning, and then they see it that it's 1,500 pages, and they're less excited. it's called Debt, the First 5,000 Years of Humanity. Funny enough, a lot of concepts from that book were then taken by Yuval Harari in Homo Sapiens and, distilled for, in a chapter versus 1,500 pages of a lot of sideways. But in principle, think of the following. There wouldn't be cities built without debt. You wouldn't have a home, you wouldn't have a car, you wouldn't be working at your company, you would be using Zoom, you wouldn't be anything without various versions of that. It's debt that fuels us an economy. And it actually, on a continuous basis, innovates. So fintech will always be there and actually will be one of the strongest areas of funding and innovation, because our civilization as humanity drives on money and debt and payments.
I didn't know I was helping civilization so much.
Here you go. Pat yourself on the shoulder. No, but like, truly, when you think about it, I mean, it is that. Because it's so everyday use, we don't really necessarily consider. I mean, like, your mortgage is that, your lease is that. Thousands of people working at the car companies, your builders, none of this. Like, it's like you and I can have hours of conversation about that, and it will never end. And the ways of improving it and stage. I mean, Stripe is a perfect example. I met, you know, brilliant founders of that company, the Carlson brothers, early on. They told me about 8 lines of code that's going to change the universe. And it actually did. Provided an ability for then the e-commerce. I mean, they were the initial power behind the e-commerce. Then they had the many copycats. Some gotten better when it comes to certain areas, as always it is. But when you think about it, they were the first ones that said, anybody will be able to incorporate a payment checkout and we'll handle the PCI compliance, which is, you know, for the audience, that's a really hard thing to do, almost impossible to do. And as a result, nobody was, unless you had an active swiper for the card, you know, the reader, nobody would be doing this because it was impossible to do it on your own, or maybe not impossible, extremely costly and time consuming. They got it and offered it down as a service.
So you seem very persuasive. You know your business. When you go into these meetings with banks, you said a lot of them know you, but for anyone that you're meeting just new, to explain to them what you're doing, what do you wish they already knew?
What I wish is they would be open-minded, and I haven't yet met a person not to the following. How about Tapstack will increase your asset diversification and drive your profits? We haven't yet gotten a single bank that said no to that. It's an ability to truly drive asset diversification, because assets for them are loans, and drive also the deposit diversification, being able to borrow or lend deposit across the network in a seamless fashion. So all that I'm asking the future customers, it just open the door. The solution is there. The solution is already tested and used by the peer group. It's supported by several big banks. We're actually, stay tuned. We're going to be making an announcement very soon as to a very, very large bank strategic investment into Capstack, which again proves the point. This is needed. This is needed at any stage of banking. Because think of the following. We all heard SVB situation, overinvested in a certain sector, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then all the regulators went to banks, and guess what they told them? Right, and I don't envy the job of regulators, because regulators told them, you need to diversify the assets. And bankers looked at the regulators and said, how? Well, you need to sell the assets. To whom? Then you need to, they said, you need to buy other assets. From whom? You see, year later, same situation happens in New York. We haven't addressed a foundational issue of U.S. banking system, which is lack of a platform for diversification of deposits and loans.
So the solution makes a lot of sense in terms of diversifying geographically or in businesses that you're not part of. Mm-hmm. Is their main question then is it going to be you that's going to be able to implement this?
Yes, because you have to be crazy enough to do that. And that's probably the audience is getting, I'm out there. First mover advantage is huge. Then execution is huge. Two, but three, more importantly, building it with banks. So to all the listeners that thinking of building the products with banks, all successful products in this in the banking core tech were actually built by banks or within banks. A perfect example is nCino. A leading loan origination system, went public, multi-billion-dollar exit for several of large VCs and PEs shops, built within a bank that later on realized, oh my God, other banks want to use it, and they basically span it up and it made it a separate entity. So this is, we are following the same book. We're building it with banks. It's a misconception that bankers are stodgy, risk averse, blah, 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 all of these things. I haven't yet met it. I met folks that want to drive innovation, want to increase revenue.
Yeah, want to make money. Yeah, sure.
Want to make money, because we don't understand necessarily all of these banks, even up to like hundreds of billions. First Republic was, you know, controlled by one family, effectively speaking. All of these banks are actually either controlled or majority owned by original funding families. We're missing that point. And that these are normal businesses. Well, normal. These are it's a business, let's call it that way. As an A business, it's not a charitable institution. It needs to make money. It's a good business. It's a legacy business. And helps communities. So it's actually positive to us as a, you know, humanity. But we need to enable and provide the tools for them. And they know exactly, if you listen to them, ask them questions, it's exactly there. The answers are there.
Well, thanks for giving us some great insights into what some of those answers might be and what the right questions are. That's Mikhail Chaplinsky, the founder and CEO of CampStack Technologies. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news, and thank you for listening.